Governing Principles for Raising Breakthrough Believers. Governing Principle for Raising Breakthrough Believers. To raise means to cause or to help to rise to a standing position, to lift higher, to place higher in rank or dignity, elevate to increase in strength or intensity, to cause to rise in level or amount. So you are a center of influence, and as a center of influence, you have a circle of influence, or a group of people that God has assigned you to influence. So your life assignment consists of reproducing, imparting, and pouring into yourself into others. I said this before. Before we can even attempt to pour ourselves into others, we have to first be poured into. And so that's why it is so important that we understand how God has set up his system and how he does things. Just like, I've said to you before about, God does not want to start all over every generation, raising up somebody to do a job, and then once that person dies out, then he got to raise somebody else up in another next generation to do. It's supposed to be a passing of the baton. So as we study finishing generation, we must keep in mind that we are being trained and developed into breakthrough believers so that we in turn can impart, train, and develop other breakthrough believers in our circle of influence, who in turn will impart and train and develop those in their circle of influence, and so on. So the key to raising breakthrough believers is apostolic wisdom. Now, apostolic wisdom is necessary and vitally important, and it must be imparted into our hearts so that we can develop accuracy in reproducing this finishing generation of breakthrough believers. Now, we want to take a look at these governing principles. Number one, developing and training people in kingdom principles and lifestyles. And then number two, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ likeness. So let's deal with this first one, developing and training people in kingdom principles and lifestyles. Developing training are two different matters, but both are equally important and necessary in raising breakthrough believers. So the question comes, what does it mean to develop and train? To develop people means to nurture what they already possess and help bring it to full maturity, usage, and maximum results for the benefit of the kingdom. Develop their character and personality so that they can bring forth their gifts, talents, and grace in wholesome living. So, a person, everybody has their own their gifts and certain graces that God has given them. So they really have to be developed in that. They really have their character have to be developed. You'll be surprised. So many people in the body of Christ are trying to bring forth the word of God with no character. They have gifts and they have talents, but they've not allowed somebody to really pour into their life and really to mentor them in a way that they can really be effective for the kingdom of God. So what we have is we have from generation to generation, we have a whole bunch of renegades, whole bunch of folk who want to do their own things and don't really want to submit to a spiritual father and that sort of thing and stuff. But so that's what character and that kind of thing is is all about. So so we had to develop their character and personality so that they can bring forth their gifts, talents, and grace in wholesome living holiness. Now, holiness, you know, being one with God and his word in thought and deed. Now, holiness is a mandate. It's a mandate. It's another thing that, I can't understand how, people can really have a relationship with God and not really walk in holiness. Or they think that, that ministering the word or whatever is just a job. And it's so once you get off on Sundays, then you take that hat off and then, you just go ahead and just live any kind of way. No, holiness is not, what you wear. And, some people think that holiness is, wearing a dress all the way down to the ground or wearing a bun in their hair. I mentioned this before. My wife and I, I went to minister at a church. And when she walked in with lipstick and stuff on, man, them people was like, oh, Jezebel has walked in the house. You know, because people have, a lot of times people have been trained that holiness is what you wear and what you don't wear and that kind of thing and stuff. Although now when you're walking in holiness, you're going to be careful about what you wear. You're not going to wear anything, that kind of thing. So holiness is not an option. Now, to train people means to put skills, patterns, and accurate procedures, the apostolic blueprint, into their lives so that they can carry out their kingdom assignment effectively. Take that which was imparted in the spiritual realm and bring it to the natural realm by practical application and of spiritual principles. By developing the person, he becomes effective. But by training the person, his work becomes efficient. Now, the inability of pastors to train people to live the kingdom lifestyle constitutes the basic problem in the church. The lack of character in the pulpit. So, we know whatever is on the head is going to flow down to the body. And so whatever is in the pulpit is going to show up in the pews. So, there's no such thing as a holiness gene. So you don't have a holiness gene. We are we're not born with holiness. You with me? It's not part of our natural DNA. Talking about holiness, godly character and integrity, it must be taught. Got to be taught. Got to be taught. It's a behavior. It's a learned behavior, and we must be developed and trained. So this doesn't come automatically. It doesn't happen just because you're saved. One of the things that, I really believe that we really have to be trained and developed, to walk in the kind of character that really exemplifies Christ. One of the things that is hard for many people because, I don't know. I believe like this, that it's hard for a person to submit. Watch this, y'all. It's hard for a person to submit. It's hard for, let's just say it wasn't a woman or a man. If you had issues with your earthly father, you're going to have problems with your spiritual father and, ultimately with your heavenly father. Because, I've seen this in people's lives. They have problems, with their dad. They can't, dad wasn't there for them, didn't provide for them. So they got problems, so any father figure that come in their life. So even if they get married, woman get married, then she don't have respect for her husband and that kind of thing and stuff. But this, it has to be taught. Submission, unless we learn how to submit to our leaders, we're not going to really be worth our salt. Submission is a character trait that you have to have as a child of God if you're going to really produce kingdom results in your life. You're going to have to be able to submit to a spiritual father, a pastor, And you're going to have to learn how to receive correction, because if you don't understand submission is not a bad word. Submission is really being under the mission of another. You know, like a submarine under the water, sub, under. It just means to be under the mission of another. It does not mean that a person is better than you or a person is more high than you. It's just the way that God set things up in a certain rank. And so we have to learn how to humble ourselves to be able to be trained and developed, because there's no sense in even talking about training and developing if we don't know about submission. You understand what I'm saying? Because first of all, we're going to already think that we know. And then, you know, somebody who tried to teach us and tried to train and develop us, then we'll think that, you know, that we have enough on our belt to, you know, be able to do what we need to do, and we don't really need anybody training. So then the enemy uses that, and so we back to the same thing that's been happening from generation to generation. So now God has placed something in a man or woman to really be able to bring you to a place of spiritual maturity, but you can't get there because first of all, you hadn't learned submission. You hadn't learned how to get under the mission of that person. You hadn't learned how to, the Bible talks about, remember, Saul was trying to kill David. You remember, Saul was a king. Saul was trying to kill David. And the Bible said that Saul was after David, pursuing David. And one day David went in the cave. And David was in the cave, but Saul was in there. And the Bible said he was relieving himself. He was really using the restroom. And David went there and cut his skirt. And the Bible said David's heart smote him. And so now Saul is the king. David really has a post-dated anointing, you know, like a post-dated check. David has a post-dated anointing. He's been anointed as king, but he's not on the throne yet. So Saul goes after him to kill him. And David, the Bible says, his heart smote him when he cut Saul's skirt. And then there was men that was pushing him, saying, David, you know, you've already been promised that, you know, that you were going, that God was going to make your enemy your footstool. And so you will always have people in your life that's always going to try to push you out of submission, to try to make you feel like somebody's messing over you, or somebody you're not going to be able to. As long as you're under somebody, you're not going to be able to really thrive and that kind of thing and stuff. And that's the kind of tactic that the enemy has used to keep people from generation to generation real people that really love God, that really had talents and gifts, but they really wouldn't allow nobody to train and develop them because they didn't understand submission. They thought submission was control. Submission is not control. Submission has to be 100%. The person who's doing the submitting has to be 100% their will. This can't be forced on you. You have to submit. You have to submit. The person who's submitting has to be 100% willing to submit. Submission can't be forced on you. So, see, it's just like anything else. When it comes down to the things of God, God never violates our will. So we have to understand that if I am going to be trained and developed, then I am going to have to will to do this. I can will to do it. I can will not to do it. So I have to come to a place where I understand that God's trying to do something in and through me. So I understand that I'm part of the kingdom of God. So we have to come to this place. We have to come to this place that I'm not my own. I've been enlisted in an army. I'm a soldier of the Lord. And so I have got to be trained in order to do battle. I've got to be able to be, I have to be trained in order to be able to accurately go forward and do the thing that I'm called to do. So I have to submit my will to a person so that they can train me, so that they can develop me. So now, because I understand that, and this is another factor, if you're going to be trained, you've got to trust the person who's training you. Because if you don't trust the person who's training you, you're gonna always be suspicious that they got motives behind what they're doing.
See, the thing about it is that God knows exactly what he's doing. And so when we put ourselves in a position for someone to train and to develop us by submitting ourselves to them and trusting that they are hearing from God. I'll give you, for instance, I've been following Apostle for about 17 years, a little bit, but it'd be 18 years in January, but I've been following him for 17 years. And the first thing, see, I came from a background where I didn't trust folk. So God had to teach me submission and trust. He had to teach it to me. God said, no, you're not going to be able to go where I'm trying to take you to if you don't learn to trust the person. First of all, I had to learn to trust God. I had to learn that if God spoke to me and told me to follow this person, then I have to trust God enough to follow that person and know that this person is following God and trust that this person is following God. So I started following him about 17 years ago, and there has been times when I have received correction. I've received direction. I mean, there's been times when, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I can't have nobody, no weak person that I'm submitting to. I can't have no person who you know, just wanna, you know, pat you on the back and all that kind of stuff. You know, I got to have somebody who gonna jack the slack out of me and that's gonna tell me, hey, you know, what thus said the Lord, and not be compromising with me. I don't want nobody. See, because I feel like the call of God is a serious call, whatever it is that you call to do. And so you ain't got time for nobody to be petting you up and that kind of thing stuff. So that means that I'm going to have to put myself in a position where I begin to mature spiritually, and I understand that this is not about me being trained. It's about God putting me in getting me in a position where he can really use me. Because if I'm not trained and developed in a way where I'm submitted to somebody, then I'm not going to really reach that destiny what God has for me. So the Bible talks about how David said, I will not put my hand against God's anointed. David was going to be the king. Now watch this. So let's just say David would have just went on ahead and killed Saul. He could have went straight to the throne. But guess what? Then that would have been an act that he would have had to reap. He had to reap what he sowed. See, because you don't have to, if God placed somebody in a position and stuff, your job is to submit and to honor that person. Because God knows exactly what he's doing, and God is going to, your promotion time is going to come. The Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. Now, this is another thing that we have to put ourselves in a position to understand. Psalm 75 said that promotion comes from God. You got to realize that God is the one that promotes us. Not man. You got to understand this now. That God is the one that promotes us. So let's just say somebody else got promoted in the spot that you thought you should have had. You say, well, it's because they like them better than they like me. No. Promotion comes from God. And so the Bible say God put up one and pull out another. So you just have to keep yourself in a place where you keep your heart right before God. Keep your heart right before God. So I got to have this trust. I got to have this submission. I got to learn submission. And none of that's going to be any good unless I learn to honor the person that God has called me to follow, the person that's pouring into me, the person that's, I got to learn how to honor them. Hallelujah. So in my following, the apostle for these 17 years, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I have learned that, you know, he's poured into me that I would not have gotten had not I submitted to him. You understand what I'm saying? So he has really been, when I say, I don't even know if it's a word I can describe. I have to describe what the apostles did for my life. But the thing about it, see, I love him, I honor him, I trust him, and I'm submitted to him. The only way, now if you got all these little, you got all these little feelings, these little, that's why you got to be careful about who you're around, who's speaking into your life and that kind of thing and stuff, because it can really mess you up. See, you can be passive and people can say, y'all going on to that school? Oh, that's that school. That's when that. No, listen to me. I'm not finna let you mess up what God's trying to do in my life. I don't even want to hear none of your garbage. Never sit down and entertain anything that Satan uses somebody to say against the person that's pouring into you. Because once, and I can tell you another thing. And this is something that it's hard to get church folk to do. A lot of times when people leave one church and they leave, they get offended with the apostle or something like that, and they go to some other church, they want to hold on to the members at the church that they were at. They want to, and the reason why is because they want to open doors so that they can put some poison in them. See, that's why, listen to me. If somebody walk away from an apostle, now y'all can be hollering about, well, the Bible said we supposed to walk in love. Yeah, the Bible did say we're supposed to walk in love. But I don't have to eat with you no more. I don't have to sit down and eat with you no more. I don't have to, I'm not gonna sit down and entertain you no more. We're not gonna talk on the telephone no more. When I see you, I'm gonna be cordial, I'm gonna speak and that kind of thing and stuff. But we are not going to say anything as it relates to the apostle. You're not gonna say anything to me about that. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's why you have to. Unless you love the person, you trust them, you submit it to them, you honor them, and that sort of thing and stuff, Satan is going to always have an inroad where he can come in and the plan that God has for your life, it's going to, I want y'all to listen to me when I tell you this. The plan that God has for your life is going to be challenged. And you're going to have to understand that you play a part in this, so I can't let anybody and everybody get in my ears and say anything to me. I'll give you another for instance. My mom not living now, but if my mom was living and I went over to see her, and I go and drink coffee with her every morning, if she brought up something that was negative about the apostle, I'll say, Mom, I love you. And I enjoy coming over drinking coffee with you. But if you say anything else negative about the apostle, we will not be drinking coffee anymore. I'll call you and check on you, and you tell me you're all right, and that's going to be it. So now I put the ball in Mama's court, where if Mama loved me enough, she won't do that to me. See what I'm saying? Because God is trying to do something in me. God is trying to pour something in me. And I can't have anybody to contaminate that. Now, y'all, I feel strong about this. So I don't know, y'all taking to do what you want to do with it. But I feel real strong about this. I don't allow nobody to say nothing negative or crazy. If I go to a relative house and they say something crazy, I'm leaving. If they come to my house and say something crazy, they got to go. You're not going to stay here with that foolishness. Why? Because there's something God is trying to pour into me, and I'm not going to be able to get it if you are trying to contaminate me and you're trying to keep me. Well, not you per se, but the enemy is trying to use you. You are a vehicle because I feel a certain way about you. And so now you got to enroll to contaminate the way that I think, the way that God is speaking to me about the person that's pouring into me. And I'm not going to have that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew 8 and 48, the Amplified Bible says, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity. See, all these character traits, you got to have integrity. You got to be honest. I'm talking about you have to be, give you for instance, all right, when I was in the workforce, this happened to me several times, when I was in construction. So whenever I go on Friday to cash a check, Well, this particular Friday, God had gave me a check, and I went to the window to cash. I mean, I saw what was on the check before, you know, when he paid me, because I wouldn't have left there if I'd have saw something different from what the man owed me on the check. So I saw what was on the check. So when I got to the window, they gave me $500 something more than, so they said, so they gave me the money. So I pulled up, counted the money, and it was $500. I said, what is this? So I went back around to get to the window. I had a couple of guys that was working with me. They said, where you going? I said, they gave me $500 something too much. I said, what you doing? They said, what you doing? I said, I'm going to let them know that they gave me too much money. They said, what? That's the Lord, boy. What you doing? That's the Lord. I said, no, because this going to come out of somebody's check. So I went back around, and so I told the lady, I said, ma'am, you gave me too much. So she looked at the check. She said, no, it's not too much. It's right. She said, if you was honest enough to bring it back here, you just take it to the person, whoever wrote you the check. So I took it to the, I took the money to the man who wrote me the check. I said, man, you wrote me $500 too much. And I gave it to him. And then he asked me how much I owed him for bringing it back. I said, you don't owe me nothing for being honest. You can't pay me for being honest. So now, how many of y'all know I could have used that $500? I could have used it. But the thing about it is that you have to come to a place where you're honest even when nobody's around you. You have to be honest with yourself even when God is trying to speak to you about certain things or certain ways or something about yourself. You got to be honest enough to say, Lord, you know, Lord, I mean, I need to change these ways. I do. I am kind of snobbish. I am kind of this way or that way. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be honest with yourself. And so it's part of developing, you know, character and that sort of thing and stuff. Integrity God can never really trust you. See, you got to know that God is watching everything. So if God is watching everything, nobody else have to watch me. God is, I mean, you know, he's the one who has the power to save me or condemn me. So why in the world am I just worrying about folk and that kind of thing and stuff? So this integrity, man, this is something that we really have to walk in. And I've been close around the apostle, man. You're talking about integrity. He really walks in integrity. And one of the things, another thing is about apostle, is that I've never seen, you know how you be around a person or something a few times or something, then all of a sudden, you know, you hear them, you know, they slip and cuss or they say something wrong or something like that, or they acting a certain way out of character and stuff. I have never saw it. And, you know, I'm from the streets, so, you know, I look for things. Yeah, praise the Lord. Ain't no sense, don't pour no cold water on me. Y'all look for things, too. But I've never seen it. Believers must be trained to live the kingdom lifestyle so that the Father is glorified and honored. Much of these lifestyle principles allow God to build into our lives his nature, his desires, and his dealing. I never wanted to preach. Wasn't a desire that I had. But one day, you know, the Bible, the scripture that says, it talks about how the Lord will give you the desires of your heart, commit your ways to your Lord. But it talks about he giving you the desires of your heart. See, I didn't have that desire, but the Lord put the desire there. And one day, I went to this church, and I was just out in the audience and stuff, and so they introduced this preacher, and he got up, and when he got up, he did not open his Bible, he did not quote a scripture, he got up screaming and hollering, talking about won't he make a way? He went to, I said to myself, I thought I was saying it to myself, but I said, God, this is not the word. I said, you need somebody, I'll go. I said, the Lord reminded me of that, you know, a year or so later. I said, Lord, I didn't mean that. I was just, you know, I was just saying that, you know, the Lord said, yep, but you said that you'd go. I need you to do this. So whenever God is, that there's so much that the Father is trying to do in and through us, and we have to put ourselves in a position where whatever God want to do, whatever way he want to use us, we willing to do it. Whatever way, because I want to glorify God in everything that I do. He'll put desires in your heart. God will put the desires in your heart. Many times when you didn't have a desire to do something, all of a sudden the desire get there. Most time that's God put that there. Praise God. So the Father wants us to seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness, and then all these things which the heathen seek will be added unto us. So he wants to train us to do his will so that the spirit of lawlessness will not be within our lives. Now, because of a lack of character development in the church, the world has made its way into the church through the saints. A whole lot of stuff going on in the church. Whole lot of stuff. And let me say this again. You have to put yourself in a position where you allow yourself to be trained and developed, because if you don't put yourself in that position, then you're just going to be another church member. You're going to be numbered with the people who just, you know, believe that going to church is the right thing. And, you know, I've been going to church ever since raised up in Sunday school, and I've been going to church, so it's just a ritual, just a habit, and that kind of thing and stuff, and it don't really have no substance to it. I believe this. I believe that, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about we're ambassadors for Christ, I just really believe that we are his ambassadors. So I believe that whenever we come to church, we come to the embassy, we come to get instruction so that we as ambassadors, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we are supposed to be making an impact in earth. And I believe whenever we come to church as ambassadors and diplomats, I think that we are receiving our assignments so that we can further the kingdom of God in the earth. So we can further advance the kingdom of God in the earth so that God can be glorified. See, every time we get somebody saved, every time somebody get healed, every time somebody get delivered, the kingdom of God is being presented in a way that people understand that this is not the normal, this is not the natural thing, but this is something supernatural that's going on. So what it does is every person that gets saved and come away from darkness, then the kingdom of God will expand. And that's supposed to be our job, to expand the kingdom of God. The less people Satan got, the more people God got, the more the kingdom of God is expanded. So we have to have that in mind that, you know, I'm here as a diplomat. I'm here to get instructions so that while I'm here in the earth realm, I can allow heaven, I can be a gateway from heaven to earth so that God can get what he need to do in the earth through me. And so I just get the assignment. I come and get the assignment. I come and get encouraged with the rest of the saints. And so when I leave out, man, ready to do kingdom business. I'm not just going out, leaving out the door and, you know, the way I came in, you know, just, you know, just laughing and going on with everybody. Hey, how you doing? You know, praise the Lord, and don't really have no purpose. The church is the ecclesia of God, the called out for specialized tasks of extending and advancing the kingdom of God. Instead of being the glorious church the Father desires, the author states that the church is weak and anemic. anemic, lacking force, power, vitality, and spirit, because it's filled with people who know nothing about kingdom living and kingdom values. And another reason why it's anemic, because a lot of times people live without the revelation of the cross. And so they have a bloodless gospel. So if it don't have if it's not founded on the blood, then it's anemic. And so it won't have the power. You understand what I'm saying? So and as a result, they will reproduce after their kind. Praise God. Principle number two. I got a couple more minutes. Principle number two. Making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. The making process comes after the following process. In Mark 1 and 17, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you become fishermen of men. All believers in our churches must be wholesome in the areas of their manhood or womanhood. So the author mentioned four specific areas that seal or secure maturity into manhood or womanhood. Number one is marriage. Number two is motive. Number three is morality. And number four is money. Hallelujah. So marriage. Kingdom marriages must reflect the relationship of Jesus and the church, the kind of relationship that must permeate from all the activities of a husband and a wife together as one, is a relationship of sacrifice, honor, and submission. I had a young man to call me up and say that, you know, he was going through some things, he and his wife and that kind of thing and stuff. And so he sat there and he talked to me. I just let him talk for a few minutes. Holy Spirit say, just let him just go on air out and say what he got to say. And so he just went ahead and started talking about some things about his wife and saying a whole lot of negative things about his wife. And I said, so you choose to call me and uncover your wife. And he said, no, I'm just, I said, no, God called you to be the covering for your family. I said, you called me and you've uncovered your wife. I said, you are never to uncover or make your wife look like, you know, she's this disgusting person. I said, because the thing about that is, I said, now, if you're doing this to me, saying this to me, then you're saying it to somebody else. And what's going to happen is you're going to have people looking at your wife when y'all get back lovey-dovey. You're going to be looking at her in a strange way, and it's because you uncovered her. I don't believe that in a relationship. I have just been, I've been married for 36 years, and I've never believed in, you know, carrying, airing out my laundry, you know, around people or telling them, you know, negative things about my wife or nothing like that. I never had nobody that I felt like I was close. Now, I've done it with God. I said, Lord, you got to do something with this woman. Because the Lord said, no, let's talk about you. I said, Lord, but it's her. I've come to you about her. The Lord said, no, but I need to talk to you about you, because if I can get you straight, then that's something that she going to automatically fall in line with. Okay, all right. So many times when I've gone to God because something I didn't feel like was right about my wife, God always pointed back to me. Always, always, always. You know why? Because God not going to get in the involved in a conversation where you're going to be telling him and putting, you know, other people down, another person down, that kind of thing and stuff. The Lord is going to wait a minute, then he's going to say, okay, all right, now let's deal with you. Let's deal. Okay, that's it. All right, praise the Lord. All right, y'all finished reading that.